evening, folks. And, yeah, we know what we're doing.
We know so much
about how to do this.
It doesn't matter how much time passes, you know. It's like riding a bicycle.
Sometimes you stumble a little bit when you first get back on the bicycle.
You know, it's hard to ride a penny farthing.
Right.
Yeah.
Getting up there takes a couple stumbles, and, you know, that's it. We got the machine going. I think we got the mics figured out. We got the board figured out so far.
Yeah.
And we're back.
We are back in the New Jersey groove.
Yeah. Hello, folks. It's me, your host, Mac, of the Antique Phonograph Music Program.
And I am Mike the Barber of the Ragged Phonograph Program.
And here we are, back in that old familiar spot.
Yeah.
Ah, it feels like a comfortable, like an old pair of underwear.
Yeah, or a blood-stained pair of gloves.
Yeah.
Either one.
But sometimes those ones didn't fit me.
Yeah, but, you know, when it's close to the skin, it just snuggles up just the right way you want it.
I love snuggling. I love it. It feels so snuggly to be back in Studio A here at WFMU.
I am so excited to be back here on WFMU, and tonight's a special night because we're teaming up to bring our audio powers together, our antique audio powers together, to bring a very special edition, but it's not going to be short-lived.
No, we're back in the studio, and, you know, the thing is, the way we're going to work it going forward now is we're going to switch off.
Yes.
Mike's got his brand of show, which is similar to mine, and I've got my brand of show, which is similar to his. So it's going to sort of complement each other each week.
So to put it blunt, we're going to be alternating Tuesday evenings. You're going to get the Antique Music Phonograph Program with DJ Mac, and then the week after it will be the Ragged Phonograph Program with me, Mike the Barber.
And it's all going to be on the same playlist for easy access. If you get the podcast, they'll automatically both come to you.
Yep.
But Mike and I will also be putting up our individual shows. And that's not to say we're not going to do some stuff together.
Not at all. I do not doubt it.
Do some programming together, whether here in the studio or out in the field.
Yeah, we like to get out in the field.
I fought for my meal. My matzah meal. I fought for my matzah meal.
Yes, you're a couple months early, but it will come in the fall.
Yes.
But what do we start off with tonight?
Oh, we start off with a really nice, clean Vocalion record from Fletcher Henderson's orchestra called Do Doodle Oom.
And that was from the year 1923.
Just so you know, that's spelled D-O, then doodle. You know how to spell doodle.
I know.
And then Oom, O-O-M at the end. And a nice, clean Vocalion red record there from Fletcher Henderson.
Yeah.
One of the premier band leaders of the New York area. And, you know, I feel fresh coming back.
You do.
I feel fresh. I feel renewed.
It smells fresh in here. It looks fresh in here.
You noticed my cologne?
Yes,
Mike?
I did.
I hope all the listeners do.
Yeah, not smell-o-vision, but what would it be if it's audio?
Smell-a-dio?
Smell-a-dio.
Smell-a-dio.
But we're very excited to come back here, bring you some of the hottest and the coldest songs of the first two decades from the 20th century.
Right. Hot wax and cold shellac.
Hot wax and cold shellac.
That should be our new
hot
saying.
Wax and cold shellac. It's a good tagline. We'll figure out. We'll figure out how to work that in there somehow.
Well, mine. You got to get your own.
Yeah. Oh, right. Okay. You trademarked it already.
I just paid the fee. I got to wait to see if it comes back. That if it's cleared.
Okay. All our fans are gonna be wearing the T-shirts that say that. Both of them are gonna wear that.
Yeah.
All
I
right.
Love that.
Let's move on to a number called Black Bottom. Let's talk about it, or you could just wind it up.
let's talk about it a little bit because the Black Bottom was the dance. That sort of replaced the Charleston,
right,
as the premier dance of the 20s, and it's a dance that became popular from one of the Ziegfeld Follies, I believe, of 1926. That's what launched it as a national craze.
Yep, and that's the year of this record.
Right, and it gets traced back to endless sources. People, one person said something like that. That dance is older than history itself. Everybody's been doing that dance forever.
Right.
But I'm not sure who sang it in that show to make it popular. But this is not the Black Bottom Stomp by Jelly Roll Morton.
Right.
This is the Black Bottom. But the dance was done to this, And this version is done by the Asterites, which is Fred Rich's orchestra. Asterites, they got their name from doing an extended period of playing at the Astor Hotel.
Ah,
which used
okay.
to be in Times Square.
Okay.
Very elaborate, right on par with the Waldorf Astoria.
Mm.
It was tore down in the late 60s. But opulent, opulent place.
Oh, yeah.
And the band played there regularly. And so from the big hit show, George White's Scandals, here's the Black Bottom.
Let's hear it. That raging fad song from 1926. You heard Mac describe it before. Black Bottom.
Yeah. So there you go.
There you have it.
These are some records that I think I got most of these from our last visit to the phonograph show.
Oh, okay. In Wayne,
New Jersey. I don't think I've listened to most of them.
Hmm.
Which I always like doing on the air, you know.
I know that. You like to be surprised along with the audience.
And you know what's also really good? Is I discovered like four boxes of 78s in my storage space that from when I moved, I never integrated them into my collection.
Right.
So that's been like years of not playing these records.
Oh, wow.
So it's sort of going to be a lot of stuff that I haven't delved into for a while. So
it's like finding new records.
It's kind of, well, I'm always trying to find new records.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get, always trying to get rid of some of these old ones. I don't know. I want to even do that more. Out with the old, in with the old. That's what I always say.
You know, it's funny when people find out, you know, we listen to this kind of stuff and play this kind of stuff. They're like, oh, but don't you run out of music? I mean, there's nothing new coming out. Well, you know, if it never landed in our hands or we never heard it before, obviously it's new to us, just like it would be new to anyone else.
Yeah. And you're going to play a song, but we're going to touch on that subject a little more in a bit.
Okay.
Because there's always new stuff coming out.
Right.
And another thing that I've realized even more in the months that not being on the radio is that everything is not on the internet.
Right,
it's not all out there.
That is very true.
There's a lot of the 78 stuff. There's a lot out there, but it's not all out there. So,
you got to get out there yourself.
I'm out there.
All right, and dig it.
I'm out there digging in crates. My hands are getting dirty. I'm like trying to charm old ladies into getting into their, you know, downstairs area.
Right.
You know, to like, you know, fish around down there, see what I can find.
Was that an innuendo?
Innuendo? That was the Queen's worst record. That was when, you know, they started to suck.
All right, let's carry on here because we're only on for another 45 minutes.
Okay.
Let's go back to the year of 1913. We're going to do a Nat Wills tune.
Nat Wills.
The famous tramp comedian. A lot going on with Nat Wills.
Sure.
This, speaking of Ziegfeld Follies, he did this song in the Follies of that year in 1913. It was kind of a part. He's commenting on some of the dance crazes that were happening at the time, kind of being introduced by Vernon and Irene Castle.
Oh yeah, what song is this?
New York, What's the Matter with You?
New York, What's the Matter with You?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I think I'm. This might have been done by a few people.
Really? Okay.
But I'm not sure because I played this. I remember when I did my show at the New York Public Library.
Okay.
I'm not sure if it's the same version. But, yeah, he's talking about the grizzly bear.
Yeah, he kind of goes through some of the fad dances and stuff like that. So, you know, like the Black Bottom was, but, you know, that was 13 years later. But let's hear this one from 19...
Well, I want to say first, you know, I'll tell the story afterwards.
All right, let's listen to this. Let's hear Mr. Nat Wills with New York, What's the Matter with You?
New York, what's the matter with you? That leaf, why did you turn? There isn't any fun when you take it on the run when the bright lights you step in. New York, what's the matter with you? You're getting awfully slow. You've got crepe on every door, and you're growing more and more like a village on the B&O. Goodbye, my tango. My ticket trot has died. I can't shuffle and ruffle anymore. It'll block my gabby glide. Goodbye, my tango. Farewell, you cabaret life. Now I've got to go home when the curfew rings to do the grizzly, to the grizzly, to the grizzly with my wife. Goodbye, my tango. My ticket trot has died. I can't shuffle and ruffle anymore. It'll block my gabby glide. Goodbye, my tango. Farewell, you cabaret life. Now I've got to go home and the curfew ring to do the grizzly, to the grizzly, to the grizzly with my wife. New York, what's the matter with you? Why play this dismal game? Since the mayor's got a bug for to stop the bunny hook, pork chops don't taste the same. New York, what's the matter with you? Cold turkey's all the go. Hereafter I'm with Brian, grape juice alone for mine. And like Roosevelt, I'll not drink old Crow. Goodbye, my tango. My ticket trot has died. I can't shuffle and ruffle anymore. I've lost my gabby glide. Goodbye, my tango. Farewell, you cabaret life. Now I've got to go home when the curfew rings. To the grizzly, to the grizzly, to the grizzly with my wife. Goodbye, my tango. My ticket trot has died. I can't shuffle and ruffle anymore, and I've lost my gabby glide. Goodbye, my tango. Farewell, you cabaret life. Now I've got to go home when the curfew rings to do the grizzly, to the grizzly, to the grizzly with my wife.
One of my favorites, famous tramp comedian. Nat Wills was kind of like the Weird Al of his day, you know, taking popular tunes, keeping the melody and stuff and kind of rewriting the lyrics. But, of course, like that song, he had a lot of just, you know, regular comedic songs to his credit.
Yeah. And, I thought that song was having to do with the cabaret laws that were happening in New York. But that happened in the 20s.
Right.
So I don't know. This is a lot earlier. I don't know what the impetus was of him talking about New York sort of crushing down on fun.
I don't know. I think it was just the rampant dances and, I guess, the animal dances and the way people were dancing. And, you know, we spoke about this just before in general, you know, Vernon and Irene Castle kind of coming along and sort of taming or letting people know, like, it's okay to dance to this stuff. We're going to show you how to dance to it.
Right.
But I'm sure a lot of people, just like now, I mean, the old-timers were saying, what's going on?
But there was definitely a these cabaret laws are still in effect, in a sense, in New York City.
Right.
But they were really put into... Really, it was a form of segregation to stop black musicians from playing. And it was a law also against the saxophone being played in places and not stopping people from dancing. So he seems to talk about how New York is coming down on this. So I don't know what was going on in 1913, but those 20s laws in New York, because jazz was a bad thing.
Right, and it was just bubbling up.
Yeah, and we tried to find Nat Will's grave in Woodlawn Cemetery, Mike, but we couldn't find it.
I know, I know.
It was tough.
We got to do something about it.
We got to go back and find him.
We will.
Yeah.
I don't know if we'll find him, but we'll find it.
Well, whatever it is, if as long as we know what we're looking for.
Yeah, I guess
so. It's better to not know what you're looking for.
Yeah, maybe. Then you never get disappointed.
Okay. But let's continue now, Mike. You know, we talked about a little before about how everything's on the internet. Well, this next song is on the internet, but what I can't find is any information about the guy.
Jimmy Smith. I mean, that's no relation to the actor, but that's Jimmy Smith.
Yeah, yeah. And there was a Jimmy Smith organ player.
Okay.
Was a jazz kind of R&B guy, but it's not him. No relation.
Mm.
And this guy is a harmonica player.
Mm.
And so I went looking for any information on it, and I even put the word out to some of my network. No one seems to come up with anything about him. Sort of a mysterious guy. He only put out a couple records. But really very interesting early country harmonica sounding approach. I know I have a few harmonica records. It seems like the harmonica was coming into its own in the mid-20s.
Yeah, and let's see. I'm trying to find the date. This one, I think, is also from 26.
Yeah, same, I think it might. I'm not sure if it's an early electric or just on the edge of being a last acoustic.
Okay.
We're going to hear it, but it's Jimmy Smith, harmonica and guitar, with the Mountain Blues. Thank you. fine guitar playing and harmonica blowing there.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Really good. Yeah, I guess I'll have to look for more of his records, although, or some more information, just go to more books to see if I can find anything about the guy.
It's tough because it's also kind of a generic name, Jimmy Smith.
Right.
You know, so I'm sure a lot of, you know, cross checks are coming up and you're getting lots of different Jimmy Smiths. I mean, it might as well be John Smith.
Yeah, you put Jimmy Smith in there and you come up with 100 people. Jimmy Smith, 78.
Yeah.
Then all the people that were born in 78. Then it's like, okay, 78 RPM, and then there's nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it's too vague. Okay. You know, he would not have been good at social media. He would have just
right
blanketed in that.
But often some stories appear. I have one of my books is called The Encyclopedia of American Pioneer Recording Artists. No mention of him in there.
Hmm.
So, yeah, it's just the way it is with some of these records. And I kind of like that. It just adds to a level of mystery. And we have nothing to judge but the record itself, you know.
Yes.
I have this theory that when I was in high school, the music didn't really matter. What mattered was everyone else's opinion of the music, of what I liked.
Right.
Mostly.
Okay.
And so, you know, it was about opinion. So if you don't have opinion, you just hear something,
yeah,
it hits you in an entirely different way. Like if I said to you, Mike, you're going to love this record. It's going to be great. You might already like it,
mm-hmm,
or you might decide you hate me and be like, I'm going to hate this because I hate this guy. So you already have preconceived notions,
sure,
of what the music is before you even hear it.
Sure, sure.
But when you have nothing
me
to go by and just put it on, I feel it's kind of a different experience.
Yeah,
the way
totally
it washes
is
over you.
I think of sort of like how many terrible songs there are out over the last 20 years or more, I guess, and they have music videos for it, and the music videos sway you to think, wow, this is a really great song.
Right.
No, just the music video kind of distracted you from realizing what you're listening to.
Yeah. You know what my favorite song is these days?
What?
Johnny Won't Stop Believin'. No, Johnny Won't Stop Working on the Dock and Believin', I think it's called.
Who's that by?
Bon Journey.
Yeah.
I think that's what they're called.
They do blend together, don't they?
It's a really good song.
Okay.
It's really pop. You'll hear it sometime. I bet you might have heard it.
I've probably heard it, but yeah. You know what I'm not going to...
I'm going to get it on 78 and play it for everybody on my gramophone.
You know what I'm not going to stop believing? In what? Eddie Morton.
Oh, the singing policeman?
Yeah, the singing policeman, the Philadelphian cop.
Good thing I didn't bring any Eddie Morton records.
I know, I was thinking that.
I had my hand on one.
I was thinking that, but you know what? I took a chance.
That's okay.
Yeah, we don't really plan out these songs before. We work spontaneously.
Sometimes. Kind of. When we're together, I'll be like, Mike, you bring stuff, I'll bring stuff.
And I guess so.
It's us discovering it with each other as well as presenting it to everyone else.
Right.
So,
Eddie Morton toured rigorously. He's actually not, unless you know this music, he's not that well remembered, but he actually had a pretty long life. He, toward the end, I think in the 30s, he opened some restaurants in Atlantic City the boardwalk. Yep.
Okay.
But anyway, here's a song he did from 1911. It's on the flip side of Alexander's Ragtime Band. Mm-hmm. Do you know what this is? What's coming up?
The Oceana Roll.
Very good.
It's not one of his wife-hating songs.
It's not. It's not.
He has a lot of those.
But I think he's doing his, giving his kind of full-throated best, syncopated.
Oh, this is one of my favorites.
Yeah, it's really good, and absolutely, it kind of rocks back and forth. It was written by Robert Lewis and Lucian Denny. So
classic ragtime number.
Here he is, Eddie Morton with the Oceana Roll.
Billy McCoy was a musical boy on the cruiser Alabama. He was there with that piano like a fish down in the sea. When he rattled off some harmony, every night out on the ocean, he would get that braggy notion, stop that syncopated motion lovingly. No one could sleep way out there on the deep when Billy cut loose out at sea. Each fish and worm begins to twist and squirm. The ship starts into dip, and does the corkscrew turn? You see that smoke so black, sneak from that old smokestack. It's floating right to heaven and it won't come back. Now here and there you'll see a stool and chair, a slipping round the cabin shouting, I don't care. And the hammock starts a-swinging, and the bell begins a-ringing, while he's a-singing that piano there on the Alabama, playing the Oceana roll. England or Spain, it was always the same. He'd be there at that piano on the cruiser Alabama every morning, noon, and night. He would keep it up with all his might. Every time he started to play, and all the boys would start a swaying, everyone would keep on saying, "Don't you stop. Sailors, take care. Oh, sailors, beware. For Bill will play on till you drop." Each fish and worm begins to twist and squirm. The ship starts into dip, and does the corkscrew turn? You see that smoke so black, snake from that old smokestack. It's floating right to heaven, and it won't come back. Now here and there you'll see a stool and chair a-slipping round the cabin, shouting, "I don't care." And the hammock starts a-swinging, and the bell begins to ringing, while he's sitting at that piano there on the Alabama, playing the Oceana roll.
What a voice, right?
One of my favorite lines, "Each fish and worm begins to twist and squirm."
The lyrics were weird. I can't even speak. That's how tongue-tied I got. But they're so witty sometimes, you know? Yeah. And you're listening to it, and you're like, man, that is a really creative lyric.
And his delivery
sometimes
is
not, but that was
slightly off the beat sometimes.
Yes, totally syncopated.
And the whole push and pull of the rhythm adds to this feeling of seasickness of the song.
Yeah, it really
makes you
does
feel like you're rolling on a deck.
It does. It kind of comes alive, and then obviously whatever it is, times change. But I mean, to bring such a story and kind of sound, obviously without any technical change. I mean, they're not changing anything. It was pure.
Not going, "Each fish and worm begins to twist and squirm."
Yeah. What is it? Auto tune? Yeah. Then I mean,
both started to drink and take that my food. Bird.
It's very direct. Matt could wax poetically about the details of how the recordings were taking place, but I think a lot of people who listen to the show and have followed you for many, many years know what's the phonograph recording's all about.
Sure.
So, yeah.
It's a one take. That's what I like about radio, too.
Yeah,
it
is.
We just get in here and we do it.
Right.
And
just knock it out.
Well, but when we say it was one take, they would do many takes sometimes before they got the take.
But it would be costly
put out there.
Right.
But that's the way it was.
Yeah.
So I alluded to the fact a few minutes ago about how sometimes you just can't find information about a certain artist.
Mm.
Well, now we're going to play a record where I can't find anything about the artist, anything about the song. I can't find
the record label.
I can't find the label. I know there's a European database out there because this is a French disc pour gramophone.
Have you actually heard this song before or no?
I listened to it a little bit before.
Okay.
It's a French artist. It's an acoustic artist named Madame Liliane Deruys, R-H-U-Y-S. And it says De l'Olympia. L'Olympia. However you do that little L in the front. But maybe that's the place she was at, the Olympia. So I was trying to do all sorts of word combinations before to try to find anything about her, and I just could not find anything about her or the guy on the other side, which you don't need to name him. But it's just a very nice French song, and I always like to find these foreign label records and discover new artists. And this is the way I always did it, and I guess it's the way I'm still doing it.
Right.
So we're discovering it together. So here we go.
C'est pas ça qu'il faudra bouffer.
I hope one of our French friends can translate that for us.
Well, the title is, I'll try it. Je n'ai marre, I think, which roughly translated means I'm annoyed.
Oh.
Or I'm fed up. I'm pissed okay. off.
I'm tired.
Yeah, something like that. Sorta. But, yeah.
We're not even sure what year that was from. I think early 20. 21,
probably early
maybe.
20s or late teens. Yeah. I don't really know this label. It's a European label, so I'm not familiar with it at all. But
we're giving you the unknown.
But it looks like the label has got Nipper on there, mm-hmm. the classic trademark, and so I can. It might even be a teens, an aughts record.
Ah, okay.
But I can't really tell.
Yeah.
But folks, you're listening to the Antique Phonograph Music Programs tonight. Myself, Mac, and Michael Hart are here.
Yeah.
Kicking off our Tuesday night phonograph spot from 8 to 9, where
yes.
we'll be switching off and doing our things.
Like alternating currents.
I'll be playing, as usual, my discs and cylinders on the machines and cranking them up. And as I always like to say to people, I always like to have guests on. So if you are a collector of this stuff, and are within the sound of my voice, please always reach out. And I also do house calls sometimes for recordings.
Yes, you do.
It's and not exactly house calls, but visits.
Visits.
Remote
you do
recordings.
House calls. Feel free yeah. to comment along as we're recording live, as a lot of people are. Chad from Oregon speculates that his grandparents might have fornicated to that song.
All right. I hope so.
Yeah.
Maybe, well, I guess if we have to trace the lineage back a couple sparks, but maybe
right.
that could be the spark that brought his parents out, and then there he was.
You never know. Should we carry on and move on?
Let's carry on.
All right, let's go to one of Harry Reeser's novelty groups. He had a bunch.
Oh, man, he did.
My favorite titled one, of course, was The Seven Little Polar Bears, but we're not going to hear from that.
Oh, I didn't even know that was him.
Yeah, Seven Little Polar Bears.
I have some of those on, I think, Cameo.
Ah, those are, yeah, those are great. They did Someone Is Losing Susan. But I want to play one by the Seven Wild Men, and they're going to get wild on this one. Really? It almost sounds like it could have been, you know, in the Marx Brothers' Day at the Circus or something like that, okay. But this okay. is earlier. We're playing a lot from 26. I guess it's our Year of the Night date.
It just comes together date. Sometimes like that, I guess.
Sometimes. But here they are, the Seven Wild Men with a very colorful song, I'm Just Wild About... Animal crackers.
Oh. Let them hear it.
I did say, ladies and gentlemen, for the greatest show on earth. I am at a swell cafe, say all I order is animal crackers, firecrackers won't do. Goodness gracious, I'm no chump, I just bit off a camel's hump, animal crackers, I love you.
Seven wild men indeed. Mm-hmm. I'm just wild about animal crackers. Thank God they still sell animal crackers.
They do, don't they?
They do. Every now and then you just have a hankering to chew on some cardboard.
Are they still in those little boxes,
they
too?
Totally are. They sell them at my local supermarket.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, there's a little bit of a mention of P.T. Barnum in there, I think. Or are they the side? Just a sideshow.
Yeah, I mean,
it was kind of a circus soundtrack almost.
Yeah, it totally was. I mean, it opened that way and it ended that way. And it had a circus barker in there and
I just heard a bit of P.T. Barnum talking today. Someone sent me a link to a listener named James,
mm-hmm.
Who's doing what he's called the Centuries of Sound project.
Okay.
Where he's going to do a playlist for every year.
Wow.
And he's up to, I think he started off with like 1865, just to do some early stuff.
Right.
Like the phone autograph.
Okay.
And then, you know, some Edison stuff. But now he's up to 1891. But it's a cool project. I was watching it. If you want to follow him, it's Centuries of Sound. .wordpress.com. I thought it was a cool little project. I love that. He also said something like, oh, you know, and I'm totally inspired by what you've been doing. I've been listening for years. So it's always nice because I've been inspired by folks to inspire others. And that's what we aspire. We aspire to inspire.
You said it best. I'm not even going to add to it.
There you go. So moving on. We got time for a few more records.
Sure.
We're going to now hear from Miss Lee Morse and her Bluegrass Boys.
Most popular song that we're playing of the night.
Probably, and they have nothing to do with bluegrass music.
Right.
But they were bluegrass before bluegrass became bluegrass,
yeah,
is what it is. And Miss Lee Morse was, she had like 15 people in her family. She's like one of 12 kids, a lot of kids.
Yeah.
She was one of, and the family was traveling around the country playing as she was a child. And she eventually just started to shine brighter than everyone.
Right.
And I believe they moved to Washington, I think, and she started just getting in shows, and it just, her, just the momentum just picked up.
Mm.
Also, you'll notice she has a deep, really deep voice. And it's part of the reason why they put Miss Lee Morse on the records, because they wanted people to know it was a woman.
Right, right. I think I have seen some Vitaphone shorts with her in it.
She, maybe so.
Yeah.
Maybe so. But always a really great spirited performance by her. And she was one of the stars of the Perfect Label while we got to the late 20s. What year is this? What, 26 also?
25.
25, okay.
Yeah, but I told you we're like smack dab right, yeah, right on the cusp of the electric era.
We're hovering all around there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, here is their version of a song you know and love. Yes, sir, that's my baby.
I love how she was doing a little bit of Cliff Edwards effing in there.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
I'm not sure if she was copying him or he was copying her, but I get the feeling that he did that first, that effing, you know, scatting.
Yeah, well, she was also did a lot of yodeling, but she did that on a lot of records, and I don't know, it seemed to be happening right around that time. So
right.
It's one of those things, Mike, where you think, like, who did it first?
Yeah.
I'm sure it goes back way beyond these two.
That's true.
Where everyone hears it and everyone's influenced by everybody. That's the way it is. But yeah, I should have mentioned one of her attributes was that she had a huge range to her voice, so she could go high, but she could also go really low.
Mm.
And there, she was mostly high and doing that. That effing, and also she does some great yodeling sometimes.
Nice.
And sometimes she just has records with her and guitar, because she played guitar too. So yeah.
Miss Lee Morse.
Miss Lee Morse. I'll get to the other side of that another time.
Let's take it back a little bit.
Sure, to 1924.
11.
11.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm feeling the 11. Obviously, we have a theme going from 1926 to 1911. But this song, it's a titled song that always mildly creeped me out. I want a girl just like the girl that married dear old dad.
Right, right.
But
yeah, I don't want the girl that married
right,
dear old dad.
Just like the girl.
It's basically another way of saying I want to marry my mother.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's what
they
were saying.
That's a
you know.
That's what we try to avoid, isn't it?
It, I think so.
But then we end up just doing it anyway, even though as hard as we try to avoid it.
Well, some of the diehard fans may think that Billy Murray is starting out this song. It's the American Quartet singing, but it's actually a Walter Van Brunt. Murray was not in this recording, but of course we know Walter Van Brunt has a very similar voice to Murray.
Yes,
but anyway,
yes.
For the sake of time, let's jump right into it. I want a girl just like the girl that married dear old dad.
My mother often said to me, get married, boy, and see how happy you will be. I have looked all over, but no girlie can I find who seems to be just like the little girl I have in mind. I will have to look around until the right one I have found. I want a girl just like the girl that married me. The pearl and the only girl that daddy ever had. A good old-fashioned girl with heart so true. One who loves nobody else but you. I want a girl just like the girl that married dear old dad. There sits a couple old and gray. Though years have rolled away, their hearts are young today. Mother dear looks up at dad with love light in her eye. He steals a kiss, a fond embrace, while evening breezes die. They're as happy as can be, so that's the kind of love for me. I want a girl just like the girl that married dear old dad. And the only girl that daddy ever had. A good old-fashioned girl with heart so true. One who loves nobody else but you. I want a girl just like the girl that married dear old dad.
And little march pop tempo.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Yep. Very nice. That was the Premier Quartet?
American.
Billy was in the American sometimes.
Yeah, a lot of times he was. Yeah. But there's a note about this song that was actually Walter Van Brunt. And if you right. really...
Oh,
if,
I can hear it's not
yeah.
Billy.
Yeah.
But...
I mean, American Quartet, Billy missed out on recording Take Me Out to the Ball Game. That's kind of historically known. It was mislabeled when it went into the Victor catalog in 08 that Murray was on that song, but he liked to play baseball. Maybe he was playing baseball like a pickup game with some kids or something.
Maybe.
That
That's
day.
That's a tough record to find, man.
Yeah, yeah.
On disc or cylinder.
Yeah, I know because really they make a T-shirt of it. Because Wayne made the and Wayne what we just ran into someone that. But they sell
someone
T-shirts.
Does one had the T-shirt on?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The record of Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
I don't
yeah.
remember who that was.
Yeah.
I don't remember. But, that's a tough one. That's maybe why I never played it. So you'll have to play it.
Okay.
So what's good about how our shows will complement each other is, like, mine is limited by the physical media that I encounter,
right.
But you've got the whole world to pull from.
Right, right.
So you'll be playing a wide range of stuff.
Sure.
And it's sort of very complementary to what I'm doing and filling in and dancing around it.
Yeah, so the public gets a nice variety. Same tone, but a nice variety.
That's right.
So
that's
right. Let's jump to this Columbia label tune.
Well, we got a couple. We're gonna make it our last song. We gotta kill a couple more minutes, Mike.
Oh, we could squeeze in another.
Okay, we're gonna.
I think we
another?
Could squeeze in another.
Okay, sure. Then we'll play Let's this try. One, and then we'll squeeze in one more.
Okay.
We're gonna play now one by a band that made one record for Columbia, Morrison's Jazz Band, which was led by James Morrison, an African American from the Denver area, and. He really wanted to do classical music, but he just fell into the jazz thing when it became popular, you know? I believe that when opportunities present themselves to you, you mold yourself to the opportunities.
Right.
And make it work.
Right.
You may have your plans, but when something else comes along, you sort of go with it. And I think that's kind of what he did with his band. They were getting popular doing the jazz thing. They came to New York, they did a recording, and they were doing some gigs here. And Victor Recording, Victor Talking Machine Company heard them and said, we'd like you to come do some recordings for us. And they were like, okay, we'll do that. But Columbia got wind of this and said, oh, no, 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 no. You're under contract with us.
Right.
Although we're not going to really do any records with you right now. You're under contract with us. You cannot do Victor. So Morrison went back to him and said, I can't really, you know, do any recording with you. But I got this friend back in Denver named Paul Whiteman. Maybe you want to talk to him, and maybe he might be someone you want to record. And I think it turned out okay.
I think so.
That's the story. I don't know how much truth there is to them, him actually doing the recommendation. But now, we've been away during the May of 17 of was the first jazz record. So we just had the 100-year anniversary of Livery Stable Blues, and it definitely made more opportunities for African-American bands. And more hot music.
Oh, yeah.
But, man, this is not really hot.
No?
It's almost like Paul Whiteman, so I believe the story.
Yeah.
It's very, it's that sweet jazz already.
Right, right, right.
Which the white people really liked. Sorry to say it like that, but it's what Victor was trying to homogenize it from the very beginning and didn't want it too hot.
Right, so this kind of gives a good example
of that.
So they
sort of did that. This band sort of had that feel. So let's hear them. It's their one record they did called I Wonder Why, Morrison's Jazz Orchestra, 1920, Mike, is it?
Yep, 1920.
All right, here we go.
Do it.
As I said, that's that sweet sounding jazz. That was, you know, the stuff that I think Victor really wanted to move towards. The hot jazz scared them, and Paul Whiteman was the perfect person to move them into the 20s. So, folks, that's going to be about it for the program. Next week, I'm not sure if it's going to be me or Mike back here. We're going to leave that as kind of a surprise. Why not? We'll let it be like that. But you can always check out me on Instagram, which is Phonograph DJ Mac. And Mike is Mike Will Cut You. And always, emails mac@wfmu.org. And yeah, really happy to be back with you all. And looking forward to the next time. So, folks, until next time, it's your host, Mac of the Antique Phonograph Music Program. And Michael Haar saying nighty-night, everybody. And this is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, in Rockland County at 91.9 FM, and online at WFMU.org. Gee.